Chapter 45. Difference, which interpose themselves, and render their union impossible, utterly impossible. I should have mentioned these circumstances to your husband, but he, as you will excuse my saying this so freely, he has not your quickness of apprehension or depth of moral sense. What an extremely airy house this is, and how beautifully kept! For one like myself, a widower, so long these tokens of female care and superintendence have inexpressible charms. Apostrophe, Mrs. Varden began to think, she scarcely knew why, that the young Mr. Chester must be in the wrong, and the old Mr. Chester must be in the right. My son Ned, apostrophe, resumed her tempter with his most winning air, has had, I am told, your lovely daughter's aid, and your open-hearted husband's. Apostrophe, apostrophe, much more than mine, sir, apostrophe, said Mrs. Varden, a great deal more. I have often had my doubts. It's a apostrophe, a bad example, apostrophe, suggested Mr. Chester. It is. No doubt it is. Your daughter is at that age, when to set before her an encouragement for young persons, to rebel against their parents on this most important point, is particularly injudicious. You are quite right. I ought to have thought of that myself, but it escaped me, I confess. So far superior are your sex to ours, dear madam, in point of penetration and sagacity. Apostrophe, Mrs. Varden looked as wise as if she had really said something to deserve this compliment, firmly believed she had, in short, and her faith in her own shrewdness increased considerably. My dear ma'am, apostrophe, said Mr. Chester, you embolden me to be plain with you. My son and I are at variance on this point. The young lady and her natural guardian differ upon it, also. And the closing point is, that my son is bound by his duty to me, by his honor, by every solemn tie and obligation, to marry someone else. Apostrophe, engaged to marry another lady. Apostrophe, apostrophe, quoth Mrs. Varden, holding up her hands. My dear madam, brought up, educated, and trained, expressly for that purpose. Expressly for that purpose. Miss Airedale, I am told, is a very charming creature. Apostrophe, I am her foster mother, and should know the best young lady in the world, apostrophe, said Mrs. Varden. I have not the smallest doubt of it. I am sure she is. And you, who have stood in that tender relation towards her, are bound to consult her happiness. Now, can I, as I have said to Airedale, who quite agrees, can I possibly stand by, and suffer her to throw herself away, although she is of a Catholic family, upon a young fellow who, as yet, has no heart at all? It is no imputation upon him to say he has not, because young men who have plunged deeply into the frivolities and conventionalities of society, very seldom have. Their hearts never grow, my dear ma'am, till after 30. I don't believe, no, I do not believe, that I had any heart myself, when I was Ned's age. Apostrophe, oh sir, apostrophe, said Mrs. Varden, I think you must have had. It's impossible that you, who have so much now, can ever have been without any. Apostrophe, I hope, apostrophe, he answered, shrugging his shoulders meekly, I have a little, I hope, a very little, heaven knows. But to return to Ned, I have no doubt you thought, and therefore interfered benevolently in his behalf, that I objected to Miss Airedale. How very natural! My dear madam, I object to him emphatically, to Ned himself. Apostrophe, Mrs. Varden was perfectly aghast at the disclosure. He has, if he honorably fulfills this solemn obligation, of which I have told you, and he must be honorable, dear Mrs. Varden, or he is no son of mine, a fortune within his reach. He is of most expensive, ruinously expensive habits, and if, in a moment of caprice and willfulness, he were to marry this young lady, and so deprive himself of the means of gratifying the tastes to which he has been so long accustomed, he would, my dear madam, he would break the gentle creature's heart. Mrs. Varden, my good lady, my dear soul, I put it to you, as such a sacrifice to be endured? Is the female heart a thing, to be trifled with in this way? Ask your own, my dear madam. Ask your own, I beseech you. apostrophe, truly, apostrophe, thought Mrs. Varden, this gentleman is a saint. But, apostrophe, she added aloud, and not unnaturally, if you take Miss Emma's lover away, sir, what becomes of the poor thing's heart then? Apostrophe, apostrophe, the very point, apostrophe, said Mr. Chester, not at all abashed, to which I wished to lead you. A marriage with my son, whom I should be compelled to disown, would be followed by years of misery. They would be separated, my dear madam, in a twelvemonth. To break off this attachment, which is more fancied than real, as you and I know very well, will cost the dear girl but a few tears, and she is happy again. Take the case of your own daughter, the young lady downstairs, who is your breathing image. Mrs. Varden coughed and simpered. There is a young man, I am sorry to say, a dissolute fellow, a very indifferent character, of whom I have heard Ned speak. Bullet, was it Pullet? Mullet, apostrophe, there is a young man of the name of Joseph Willet, sir, apostrophe, said Mrs. Varden, folding her hands loftily. That's he, apostrophe, cried Mr. Chester. Suppose this Joseph Willet now were to aspire to the affections of your charming daughter, and were to engage them. Apostrophe, it would be like his impudence, apostrophe, interposed Mrs. Varden, bridling, to dare to think of such a thing. Apostrophe, apostrophe, my dear madam, that's the whole case. I know it would be like his impudence. It is like Ned's impudence, to do as he has done. But you would not on that account, or because of a few tears from your beautiful daughter, refrain from checking their inclinations in their birth. I meant to have reasoned thus with your husband, when I saw him at Mrs. Rudge's this evening, apostrophe, my husband, apostrophe, said Mrs. Varden, interposing with emotion, would be a great deal better at home than going to Mrs. Rudge's so often. I don't know what he does there. I don't see what occasion he has to busy himself in her affairs at all, sir. Apostrophe, if I don't appear to express my concurrence in those last sentiments of yours, apostrophe, returned Mr. Chester, quite so strongly as you might desire, it is because his being there, my dear madam, and not proving conversational, led me hither, and procured me the happiness of this interview with one, in whom the whole management, conduct, and prosperity of her family are centered, I perceive. Apostrophe, with that he took Mrs. Varden's hand again, and having pressed it to his lips with the high-flown gallantry of the day a little burlesque to render it the more striking in the good lady's unaccustomed eyes, proceeded in the same strain of mingled sophistry, cajolery, and flattery, to entreat that her utmost influence might be exerted to restrain her husband and daughter from any further promotion of Edward's suit to Miss Haredale, and from aiding or abetting either party in any way. Mrs. Varden was but a woman, and had her share of vanity, obstinacy, and love of power. She entered into a secret treaty of alliance, offensive and defensive, with her insinuating visitor, and really did believe, as many others would have done who saw and heard him, that in so doing she furthered the ends of truth, justice, and morality, in a very uncommon degree. Overjoyed by the success of his negotiation, and mightily amused within himself, Mr. Chester conducted her downstairs in the same state as before, and having repeated the previous ceremony of salutation, which also as before comprehended Dolly, took his leave, first completing the conquest of Miss Mick's heart, by inquiring if this young lady would light him to the door. Oh, Mim, apostrophe, said Mick, returning with the candle. Oh, gracious me, Mim, there's a gentleman. Was there ever such an angel, to talk as he is, and such a sweet-looking man? So upright and noble, that he seems to despise the very ground he walks on, and yet so mild and condescending, that he seems to say, but I will take notice on the two. And to think of his taking you for Miss Dolly, and Miss Dolly for your sister, oh, my goodness me, if I was master wouldn't I be jealous of him? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mrs. Varden reproved her handmaid for this vain speaking, but very gently and mildly, quite smilingly indeed, remarking that she was a foolish, giddy, light-headed girl, whose spirits carried her beyond all bounds, and who didn't mean half she said, or she would be quite angry with her. for my part, apostrophe said Dolly, in a thoughtful manner, I half believe Mr. Chester is something like Mix in that respect. For all his politeness and pleasant speaking, I am pretty sure he was making game of us, more than once. Apostrophe, if you venture to say such a thing again, and to speak ill of people behind their backs in my presence, Miss, apostrophe said Mrs. Varden, I shall insist upon your taking a candle and going to bed directly. How dare you, Dolly? I'm astonished at you. The rudeness of your whole behavior this evening has been disgraceful. Did anybody ever hear, apostrophe cried the enraged matron, bursting into tears, of a daughter telling her own mother she has been made game of? Apostrophe, apostrophe, what a very uncertain temper Mrs. Varden's was. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.